You know, the strangest thing is just how disconnected you could feel. No internet, no cell phones, this vast continent, and no itinerary. How my parents decided to allow this to happen, I still question.
Because you were quite young then.
20. And I'm so grateful that they did, actually, because it informed the absolute rest of my life. So every bit of wisdom that I could absorb while I was there has influenced everything I've done since. And I also think being raised in Colorado, but also then immersed in the African natural wildlife and the environment that was so pristine and so important to the lives there, that really informed the decision to make sure that I publish sustainably.
Well, we'll talk about the challenges of publishing sustainably and what actually that means. But let's talk a little bit more about your story. Where did you have an itinerary when you went, or was it just being 20? Let's just go there and see what happens.
So it's funny. One of the things that was really most important for us was how can we communicate via slow post? And so at that time, you could set up post restant addresses in these different places without really an itinerary, and you would just then tell your friends, okay, if it's this 3-month period, send it to Cameroon. If it's this 3-month period, send it to, let's say, Kenya. And so we started in Senegal, we started in the West, and we traversed across the continent. I think there were 13 or 14 countries in all that we saw. And so that was really the only plan we had, and it was not that great of a plan. We had to change it, you know, midway through. And I think one of the most fascinating things for me was just how long it took to release some of the rigor of social conditioning. You think that you're wide open and that you're ready for this adventure, and then you land and you recognize how many filters you're actually bringing the experience through. And so that took us about, I would say, 3.5 months. And we were looking for this idyllic village, you know, some kind of a structure that's foreign to our eyes, that's unfamiliar, a people that live in a very different way, dress differently. And we just weren't finding it. We weren't having much luck in West Africa. And so we had surrendered that idea. We were going to skip Kenya altogether because we felt like it was too overrun with tourists anyway. But because it was the cheapest fare out of Cameroon, we ended up flying into Kenya. And that's where we met the nomadic people and befriended them and have stayed in contact.
And how long were you there?
Well, so we were in Kenya. We also left there, gosh, dates and times. I think, well, what I know for certain is I fell in love with a nomadic warrior and his family, and we only had 58 days together. And so for that 58 days to then take 23 years to process so that you can actually encapsulate the experience and write about it is that's kind of interesting to me.
Well, were you mulling all of this over for 28 years? Was it percolating yeah. in your head with a view to writing a memoir, or how did you get from there to here?
Yeah. So my girlfriend Cass that I traveled with, she said when we landed, or maybe 3 days later, you said, I'm going to write a book. But then you realize that it's so deeply personal. And also, I didn't quite have the ending. It was so open-ended because we had just left the continent, and I was heartbroken, and I landed in Boulder, and I suddenly was not assimilating very well. And I went to a therapist for the first time in my life and tried to make sense of what was happening to me. And then my lover and I, we wrote for 8 years. And we were able to correspond. I mean, not easily and not regularly, but it was a time span of 8 years. And so I didn't really have an ending for how this. I kept thinking, well, I'll go back. And 16 years later, I finally did.
So you did go back 16 years
later? I did go back, and I looked for them.
Like?
Well, I found the family, and I was overjoyed. They remembered me, which I wasn't certain how that was going to go. They said that they actually create a little tiny house for me, that I was their white daughter who they were hoping would return. And I did land at the time of a very severe drought. It's northern Kenya. And I felt really fortunate about that because I could bring in all of this food, and we trucked in, you know, just filled to the gills, these Land Rovers with food and water. And I could see that my parents, his parents, were feeble with fatigue and malnutrition. And so it felt really rewarding. And then we've since stayed in touch, and I send money every month, and that's my little part.
Well, the process of actually publishing this book is a story in and of itself, because you wanted to do it sustainably.
I had to.
And we know that obviously books are made out of paper, but I'm not sure how many people really understand what that means for the environment. What's the environmental impact of a book being published in a traditional way?
Yeah. So when I went down the rabbit hole of trying to understand these statistics, because I actually was quite naive and I thought it was being done. I just thought that we must be using recycled paper at this point in 2017. And so then when I was recognizing my disillusionment, then I started doing research, and there was a great website, the Green Press Initiative, and they were sort of like the watchdogs of the publishing industry. But sadly, they've since gone out of business. So the stats that I have are from 2011 and 2012. And at that point, for a 250-paged book to sell a million copies required 12,000 virgin trees. And that was just staggering to me. I couldn't understand. And then when I started going into bookstores, I started seeing everything a little differently and what we had sacrificed in not choosing recycled fiber. And then I thought, well, it must be really difficult then to do that. And what's difficult is finding it, but it's actually out there. So it's just the printing presses aren't used to being asked for it, so they don't carry it. They might carry 10% recycled fiber, but not 100%. And so I found Thompson Shore in Michigan, in this lovely wooded place. It just made so much sense that, you know, they would have this option. And they said in 45 years, sadly, no author has asked except for you. So they've made me their spokesperson, which I did not intend to have, you know, this new job and title, but anything for the trees.
Well, what reaction were you getting from either agents, literary agents, or publishing houses when you said it's got to be done sustainably?
Yeah, they said, I'm sorry, that's just not the author's prerogative. And I think they really did expect me to say, okay, then let's do whatever you do, because self-publishing, as the publishing houses know, is very difficult. It's a long path, and you have to be really committed, and it's such a learning curve, because a lot of times writers are not very good at self-promotion. We're not very good in front of people. We don't necessarily want to, you know, all of that. And so, but I'm naive enough, and I guess I'm committed enough. And I just told them, well, then I have to decline the representation. And there was a little bit of like a scoffing laughter at the other side, like, yeah, well, good luck with that. But it's important, you know, and I love trees.
Well, Keepers of the Story is the memoir, but where is it available? I mean, given that you said that you would ultimately love to see independent booksellers also get behind this idea of sustainable publishing.
Yes.
Where can people get this?
So Boulder Bookstore, Tattered Cover. You can find it at the Book Bar, which is also in Denver. I'm trying to spread it through the different mountain towns in Colorado first, because I would really love for Colorado to champion this cause. I would say if I can, I'd love for people, if it's okay for them to choose this way, that for the exact same price, they would go to Seattle Book Company. That's the distribution arm of Thompson Shore, who's the printing press. And so they're the ones that made it possible for me to do this sustainably. And they'll ship it out immediately as well.
Well, there's a lot more information about sustainable publishing, as well as about you and the memoir, which is called Keepers of the Story. And that's at your website, which is micahspringer.com.
That's correct.
We'll put a link to that at kgnu.org. Well, we're appreciative of you taking time to come into KGNU today. Thank you so much.
I'm so grateful. Thank you.